This is KBOX Heart of the Arts Podcast. I'm Greg Kostraba. Phoenix Symphony Music Director Tito Munoz just concluded his 10-year tenure with the orchestra, and he's in the studio to chat about his experience here and let us know what the future may bring. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Now, let's go back to the time you applied for the position more than a decade ago. What attracted you to the job?
As music director jobs go, you don't really apply for them. You just go and see what happens. And if the stars align, the stars align. It's an interesting field in that way because essentially we're freelancers. But once we find a place that just happens to be looking and happens to have the chemistry, then things sort of work out. And in this case, Phoenix was looking and I was available and the chemistry was good in the beginning. And I think what attracted me the most to this orchestra, aside from the level of the musical talent of the orchestra, is how embedded in the community the musicians are. And I think that that's really, really important for a lot of orchestras to embody, to embrace this idea of community engagement and community outreach. Musicians here, although a lot of it's extracurricular, it's outside of their contractual obligations with the orchestra, most of the musicians in the orchestra, it's unusual, but most of them participate in all of these extracurricular outreach and education activities. They are extensive, from homeless shelters to hospice care. At the time, we were doing dementia care studies through ASU. Really, really interesting work. And I think that, for me, showed how passionate the musicians were for their jobs here.
Before you became music director here, I know you were an assistant conductor at Cincinnati Symphony. Had you been a music director somewhere else before?
So I had a few jobs prior to this job. I was assistant conductor for one season in Cincinnati. I was for three seasons with the Cleveland Orchestra as assistant conductor as well. And then after that, I was a music director of an opera house in Nancy, France, for a few seasons before taking the job here in Phoenix. So yes, I was music director, but in Europe.
Is there anything that surprised you when you became music director here, given that you've been in orchestras and in music director positions before?
Oh, that's a good question. Not necessarily. I think, in my view, the biggest part of my growth in the past 10 years as a music director here has been, I think, always is just dealing with people. It's a management position in a lot of ways. It's something where you have to find ways of interacting with an ecosystem of people and all of the baggage that comes with that, but also all of the opportunities to create and change a culture. Those are really, really difficult things and things that you can't really learn until you just do the job and figure it out. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a surprising thing, but I think that was definitely something that required the most growth from me in order to do it well.
You've talked about the management part of it. What about the music part of it? Can you walk us through the process of setting up a season?
It really needs to start from a vision of the leader, of the music director. It always, of course, ends up being a collaborative process. It has to be, because there's so many different variables at play. The orchestra needs whatever care that it needs, and that's up to the music director to figure out. If the orchestra is lacking or has been lacking in a certain portion of the repertoire, then you might, as a music director, want to judiciously place those pieces into the repertoire. We have a chorus, a wonderful, talented chorus, and we have to include them. And so that is part of the equation. We have a marketing team that is hoping to sell tickets, and we have to work with them to make sure that we're creating programs that are not more difficult than necessary for the team to be able to market and sell tickets. I'm always listening to what the audiences are asking for. I mean, I always get a lot of opinions about what the orchestra should be playing, and I do take those to heart. We don't always deliver exactly on those things, but I do take them to heart when I'm programming. And then also, I think really, really important is the new music. Orchestras have a responsibility to create a platform for new work and for new composers and for them to be able to showcase their work. And so taking all that into account, soloists, concerti, how long the pieces are, what the budget is, how much are the rentals of pieces, because if pieces are still under copyright, we have to rent them from the publisher, and that costs money. So all of those things come into play. And so when I'm putting together the initial draft of programs, I'm already taking a lot of that into account in the beginning. I try to do that anyway when I first start my wish list of whatever is going to be going on that year. And then it goes through a process of different stakeholders giving their input and feedback. And so it takes a long time, you know, several months, if not a full year, to kind of come up with a program that everyone's satisfied with, everyone feels good about, and everyone feels like we're going to be able to push out into the public. And then the board has to approve it. It's a lot of work, but every year for me here has been very positive and very fun. We have a wonderful artistic committee that has a lot of input made up of musicians and staff and board, and it's usually a lot of fun to program.
In terms of soloists, even since I've moved here 2.5 years ago, you've brought in one world-class performer after another: pianist Stuart Goodyear, violinist Gil Shaham, cellist Johannes Moser, guitarist Pablo Sáenz Villegas, and pianist Michael Stephen Brown, who told me that you were his camp counselor when he was 12 years old.
That's correct.
Do you know all of these musicians personally? Do you know them just by reputation? How do you decide which soloist you're going to bring in?
A lot of the soloists that I bring in, yes, are people that I know I've worked with or that I want to work with in some capacity. Not always. I mean, sometimes they're people that I just admire and I would love to work with them and I ask for them to be engaged. But that's also a big jigsaw puzzle, because the soloists that we bring in are all very busy. And we have our calendar of our concerts and folks have their calendars of their concerts. And so I might have a soloist that I really want to work with, and then it takes several years before we can bring them in, because simply we have to make sure that the calendars align. We only do, 12 classics at the most per year, 12 classics weeks. And those weeks are pretty set, because we have to deal with the hall that we don't own, the hall that's owned by the city, the hall that we share with the ballet and with the opera. That's another variable in the programming as well. Making sure that the dates align with whatever soloist is, it's also just part of the really, really big jigsaw puzzle.
Now, before we talk about the highlights of your tenure, let's chat about what I think must have been the most difficult time, which is the worldwide pandemic. How did you and the symphony deal with and adapt to COVID?
Unfortunately for us, we were not in a good enough financial position to be able to have a lot of activity during COVID. And so the orchestra was unfortunately furloughed for the entire season. We were grateful for the payment protection program by the government, so we were able to bring the musicians back on salary for those two iterations of it, I think the beginning of that season and the end of that season. But because of a lot of the restrictions and the financial impact of those restrictions, we were unable to do a lot of activity. The musicians on their own did a lot of really wonderful work, which we're grateful for, because they understood the need to keep engaging with the community. And so they did a lot of things as the musicians of the Phoenix Symphony. And they did partner with the association to share some of that content with the public. We did a couple of very small online things. I also try to do as much as I can engaging with our players and soloists online in Zoom chats and things like that. We did quite a few of those. We have an archive of wonderful concerts that have been broadcast by KBOK that we have, and so we featured a lot of those performances as much as we could. We had a small archive of video footage that we've tried to push out. In our limited resources, we did try to stay engaged and active and connect with the community. We were grateful for an incredible gift from the Virginia G. Piper Fund at the end of that 2021 season, so that when we came back in 21-22, we were on fairly solid footing and we could actually present a pretty robust season. So COVID itself was an enormous challenge for us, but I think we were very diligent and smart in how we handled it so that we could come back in September of 2021 quite strong.
Now let's talk about the flip side of it, and this may be like asking a parent what their favorite child is, but do you have an experience or two that kind of tower over the rest over the course of your decade here?
A lot of memorable things. The thing that I think I'm going to leave the most, I guess the word is proud of, is our Reverb New Music Festival that we started after COVID. We started in 2021. That is a week-long festival, several programs that feature a guest curator, guest programmer that is either a soloist or a composer or both in the new music scene, classical new music. They create a program with our orchestra and with the community, however they want to do it, that embodies their aesthetic and their inspirations for what they do creatively. And so the first iteration of it, we had two different curators, Daniel Bernard Romain and Christopher Cerrone. both friends of the symphony. Daniel Bernard Romain is an ASU professor. Christopher Cerrone, we've played many of his pieces. He's a very close friend of mine, and they both curated each their own concert, that first iteration. Last year, we had Jennifer Koh, the famous violinist, soloist, who does a lot of new music and commissions a lot of work. She did a wonderful two programs, and also with a partnership through ASU, did a masterclass with the violin studio there. And then this year we have Curtis Stewart, the Grammy-nominated violinist, who came in and worked with our partners in the unhoused community. And he did a project, a world premiere of a piece that he wrote that tackles climate change. Even the musicians kind of didn't know what to expect when we first did it. And I think now it's really positive anticipation that they always have for that week. Every week has always come out to be quite fulfilling. And I think they're always looking forward to seeing like what we're going to do for that week next. They don't really know until they show up and have to play the program and start learning the materials. And so because it's all new, we're usually kind of figuring things out by the end, sort of last minute. But it's really fun. It's really engaging. The audiences always come out very uplifted and very renewed. It's wonderful. And it really shows how impactful new music can be and should be for what symphony orchestras offer. So that's the thing that maybe I'm the most proud of and that I'm the most happy to have brought to Phoenix. Aside from that, we've had some really, really wonderful programs that I remember that are memorable. We did a wonderful Verdi Requiem, for example. I think this weekend will probably be one of the more memorable ones, Mahler Symphony No. 2, which is always an event no matter who plays it and who does it. I led a wonderful concert version of West Side Story several years ago that really was a big hit. And so, yeah, there are quite a few of those programs that I think are going to be the more memorable ones for me.
What are your future plans? What are you looking to do? I'm guest conducting, I assume, another music directorship somewhere. What?
Sure. All of the above. That's what conductors do. We guest conduct and then we will meet an orchestra. And if, again, like I said, if they're looking and if the chemistry is good and all the things fit, then perhaps that's in my future.
Tito Munoz just concluded 10 seasons as music director of the Phoenix Symphony. It's been wonderful chatting with you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
For the KBOC Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.